The charming rogue and brilliant ad man Don Draper will be back in living rooms this Sunday. Mad Men returns to TV, showcasing the glamour and squalor in a fictional 1960s advertising firm. Seemed like a good time for Renee Montaigne to speak with a real ad man with long experience who joined her from our New York bureau.
That would be George Lois, credited with leading a creative revolution in the late 1950s and 60s. His aim? To create art out of ads. Along the way, he helped make Xerox famous, gave us the cry, "I want my MTV," and had magazine covers collected by the Museum of Modern Art. In his new book, Damn Good Advice, George Lois offers tips from the best of the real Mad Men, some of whom worked in the very building in Manhattan that now houses NPR's bureau.
I walked into this building, and I almost went into shock because I realized it was the lobby of the building that I worked at in the late 50s, an agency by the name of Doyle Dane Burbach, which is a renowned, legendary agency. It was the first creative agency that combined the talents of great art direction and the talents of a great writer, synergistically working together to create great ad campaigns.
Well, since you're sitting there in, I guess in a sense, your original stomping grounds, give us an example of one of the ads that would have emerged from that ad agency in that building.
Well, one that thrilled me was probably something like 1957, a great, great ad campaign for a Levy's Jewish Rye. And the campaign was, "You don't have to be Jewish to love Levy's Jewish Rye." And the visual was a Native American Indian chomping into a sandwich made with Levy's. It was a Chinese waiter chomping into a sandwich. It was a New York Irish policeman chomping into it. What was great about it, and it was kind of signaled to me what real great advertising really should be about, it had a great line that you couldn't forget, and you had a visual going with it, in synergy with it. Those two things together create great advertising.
One of the things you write here is you offer up a formula for advertising. The word must come first. But you've described a perfect kind of ad which marries a word to an image.
Yes,
so,
that's
but
very,
you still think the word comes first.
Yeah, no, that's very sharp of you. When I talk, and especially when I talk to young people, and I say that when you want to create advertising, you should think in words first. They look at me stunned. They say, no, you create these powerful visual images. Why would you think of copy first? I said, because a line, a slogan should be famous, like I did later with "I Want My MTV." It's one of the most famous slogans of all time. If somebody says to you, "MTV," you think of Mick Jagger on a phone screaming into the phone, "I want my MTV." That, to me, was always the epitome of great advertising.
You tell a story from when you were a teenager in an art class. Tell us that story.
Sure. One of the courses was a pure design course. You'd have an 18 by 24 sheet of paper, and my instructor, Mr. Patterson, said, "Okay, do a design of circles." No concept, just pure circles. The next day were triangles. Then the next day would be triangles and rectangles together. Then on the last day of the year, he gave us another piece of 18 by 24 paper, and he said, "Today, whatever we do, it's going to be half your mark for the season, for the term." Kind of astounding. And he said, "But today, a design of rectangles." And everybody started to work. And where everybody's cutting, they're cutting shapes, and they're all cutting different rectangle shapes. I sat for an hour and 20 minutes, whatever it was, and I did not move. I just sat back, kind of looked out the window, listening for the birds, etc. Finally, after an hour and 20 minutes, he said, "Time's up," and he started to pick up everything, the papers, and he finally came up to me, and he's about to grab it, and I stopped. I put my hand down and said, "Excuse me, wait for a second." And I wrote G. Lois in the corner of this perfect 18 by 24 rectangle. And he tore it out of my hands, and I said, "Oh, my God." I went home. I said, "Oh, my God." He didn't get it. I came in the next morning, and there were four or five teachers in the hallway. Saw me and said, "George, oh, my God, George, what you did at Mr. Patterson's class was brilliant." What I taught myself was that in any problem you get, you got to come up with an innovative, brilliant, kind of unusual, stunning solution.
Give us an example of how you take this level of creativity and apply it to something that's as simple as Aunt Jemima's What was it? What was
Aunt syrup?
Yes, syrup. But until you came along, Aunt Jemima wasn't known for syrup. That product was known for pancake
yeah,
mix.
I was working for the Aunt Jemima people, and I said to them, how come you guys don't have a syrup? You own the pancake business. And they said, well, that's not our business. And they come up with 12 reasons why they don't have it. And I said to them two or three times over a couple of months, and they said, stop talking about it, Aunt Jemima syrup. So finally what I did is I came up with a piece of research with my account executives about Aunt Jemima pancake. Aunt Jemima pancake, do you do this? How do you do this with pancakes? And do you do this? What do you buy? Blah, 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 blah. The last question in this questionnaire about pancakes listed a bunch of syrups, and I included the words Aunt Jemima syrup. And I said, which of these syrups have you bought in the last year? And something like 90% of the people or so circled that they had bought Aunt Jemima syrup, which was non-existent. And I took that research to the head guys, and I said, I want to talk to you about syrup. And they said, not again. And I showed them the research, and I said that 90% of the Americans believe they are already buying Aunt Jemima syrup. Would you please make Aunt Jemima syrup? And, of course, they created the syrup, and they became the leading syrup brand in the world, you know, in 2 days. You know, so creativity comes in. My defining statement about creativity, in fact, is in the opening pages of the book. I have in very bold type, creativity can solve almost any problem. The creative act, the defeat of habit by originality, overcomes everything. And I really believe that. And what I try to teach young people or anybody in any creative field is that every idea should seemingly be outrageous.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Sure, Renee. Thanks very much.
Ad Man George Lois. His new book is called Damn Good Advice.
And you can see some of George Lois's successful ad campaigns at npr.org. This is Morning Edition. From NPR News, I'm David Greene.
And I'm Steve Inskeep.